This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, welcome to the show. Ahead, another WHL player from last season has broken into the NHL. Zach Ostapchuk making his debut this past week. We'll have more on that. The Red Deer Rebels have a familiar face behind the bench, Dave Strouche, taking over the club recently. More on the challenges he faces coming in during the final stretch run to the playoffs. The UBC Thunderbirds men's hockey team are Canada West champs, and they did it with 22 WHL alumni players, including Captain Chris Douglas. They are now gunning for a national title this weekend. Chris will tell us how they got it done. And this year's award winner of the Bob Ridley Award for Media Excellence is longtime TV broadcaster reporter Earl Seitz. Earl recently wrapped up an amazing 54-year career. He'll stop by to wrap up the show. First up, Zach Ostapchuk, a former Winnipeg Ice and Vancouver Giant, broke into the NHL this past week with the Ottawa Senators. Ostapchuk made his NHL debut on home ice against the Pittsburgh Penguins, helping them to a 2-1 overtime victory.
Yeah, I mean, it was everything you could ever dream of. I mean, you go out there and big crowd and warm-ups, and that was a pretty cool lap for me. So, yeah, I'm very thankful for the experience.
The 20-year-old from Edmonton, Alberta, played in the WHL from 2019 to 2023. He was the Giants' captain before a deadline deal that sent him to Winnipeg. He also got a shift in overtime against the Penguins.
Yeah, I was a little surprised when they gave me a tap and said, you're going. And then I saw Crosby out there, and his heart beating a little bit. So, I mean, I'm very thankful that they trusted me to go out there. And it's a good experience. Yeah, I think obviously getting the win too, you leave the rink with a good taste in your mouth, and everybody's happy. So I think that's big too. And obviously I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. It was probably the coolest night of my life. So
you're listening to the WHL This Week radio edition.
He is no stranger coming off the bench to take over a team. Dave Strouche has landed in Red Deer with the Rebels. Troy Gillard has more.
Here with Rebels interim coach Dave Strouche. Dave, you're a couple of weeks into it now with your new Red Deer Rebels club, but just how are you enjoying this whole thing?
Well, it's refreshing. Lots of learning. I'm educating myself on what it's like to be in the back in the Western Hockey League. Teams that we're playing and going to play, watching a lot of them play so that I have an idea of, you know, what we're up against. And probably the most important part is getting to know the players and the staff. In our day-to-day routine, I think that it's important that, we talk about how we want to play the game with the identity of the Rebels hockey. That preparation has been remarkable. The players, as hard as it is to have somebody come in this late in the season, the staff, individual players, getting to know each of them, and them getting to know a new coach, I think it has to be really difficult, but they've been fantastic. They've responded really well. The way that we've practiced, the new voice, the new words, those types of things. We've had successful days. We've had some days have been really hard in how we've had to practice and as physical as we need to be. I think that our fitness level needs to be a lot better. We haven't had a full 60-plus minute game yet. We've played well. But we have a long ways to go to play a 60-plus minute game, because when you get into the playoffs, it's going to be it's a rough road, and we have to be ready for that.
Yeah, certainly nice, though, that you've had essentially two full practice weeks since taking over to get to know your team and vice versa.
Well, not too often you get that, but it's been we were very fortunate. No matter how you look at it, fortunate's the best word. But that becomes the buy-in, the ownership of the players here, understanding that we were going to have 2 weeks of training camp. And Monday to Wednesday, two-hour practices, lots of conditioning, lots of battling, just getting to know each other at the next level was really important. I had a long thought process on the drive here on the Saturday. So to this point, I've been happy with it. As we move forward here, we have to become a more consistent team and get towards that goal of of a full game and playing the same way all the time.
Prior to joining the Rebels a couple of weeks ago, you were working at Notre Dame out in Saskatchewan, running the U15 team and overseeing the whole hockey ops. How did you enjoy that role before coming to Red Deer?
What a great experience. As a young kid, I'm from Flint Flon, Manitoba, and then into Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Notre Dame was the place to be. So as when you look back in those days with Brindamore Moore and Joseph, Kent Manderville, the team that Notre Dame has had then is the team that I was hoping to initiate a process to getting back to. With all the academies that have popped up over time, Notre Dame needed to take and evolve into what those programs have. So I think that we've initiated something really special there, and I hope that they continue to do that. The administrative side of it, I like to learn. I like to experience new things. I had a really good opportunity to do that. It began a new chapter in my life with some things that I needed to, that I wanted to be a part of. And it was enjoyable.
You come into a Rebels club right now that's a little bit different than your previous head coaching stints in Saskatoon and Regina, where at those times you kind of took over rebuilding clubs. Yeah. But here, it's not a rebuild. You're jumping right into it, and you're going to a playoffs right away.
Yeah, no, that's obviously a new experience for me as a head coach. But my experience as an assistant and associate, both with Lorne Mulliken and John Paddock, I mean, what they allowed me to do as an associate coach, put me in positions that I'm in right now with good players. These kids here, these young men here, they come to work every day. They're good players. Our speed, our work ethic, our grit. I mean, I'm seeing new things from these guys every day. So they don't have a ceiling. We've made it clear to them that at this point, everything we do, every rep we get in on the ice and everything we talk about off the ice, that's just part of the process. And I know that's an easy thing to say, but when you're doing it, talking about it, we talked about it yesterday. We talked about actions speaking louder than words. So this group, again, there's no ceiling for them the way they work. And it's going to be exciting to see where we go.
Well, you've clinched a playoff spot already, and really looking forward to seeing how the rest of this process turns out. Dave, thanks for this, and good luck going forward.
Thanks very much, Troy.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschenouth Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Hey, what a win for the UBC Thunderbirds. They are Canada West champions, and it's been a long time coming. And we have on the line their captain, who played his WHL hockey with the Red Deer Rebels. Chris Douglas is joining us here for WHL This Week. Chris, first of all, big congratulations. You guys pulled this out to be the first time UBC winner since 1971.
Thank you so much, John. Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience, and just so thankful to be a part of this.
You know, a lot of people, when they think Canada West, they think the U of A or the University of Saskatchewan. And, really, it's been the year of the underdogs lately. I know it was a great season for Mount Royal in Calgary, but lo and behold, you guys are the champs. Did you play that underdog card at all during the playoffs?
Yeah, I think, we actually, last year, we had a pretty heartbreaking semifinals against University of Alberta. And, we set a goal. We said that we would be the home team coming into playoffs, and that, we would be that team that is looking to get beat. And we had a great regular season, ended up finishing first. But if you look at the standings, I mean, not many points separating first to fifth place. So it was key. You don't have that travel. You're in your home rink. You have your fans behind you. And I think that was a huge part of why we were able to come out on top.
You scored twice in the victory over the University of Calgary Dinos in Game 3. And, you're from Richmond, so this has to feel like a bit of a hometown victory for you, too.
Yeah. I mean, both of my parents went to UBC. My sister also went to UBC, so there's a little bit of family history and legacy coming to the school. And just, it's unbelievable seeing where this program has come in the last, 5-10 years. I think I said it after we won there. I just hope people can look back, an alumni of this hockey team, and be like, I was a part of that. And I'm proud to be a UBC Thunderbird.
Yeah, good for you. Now you'll fly Canada West colors at the U Sports National Championship in Toronto. And you're doing this with a lot of WHL former foes. You guys have banded together to go out and win this. What's it like to team up with these guys that you battled? You were in the Central Division, but you know, there's battles all over the place. Tell me about the group of guys you have there.
Yeah. I mean, I think every hockey player can attest to this. There's some guys that when you go on the ice, it's they're the easiest guys to hate. But when you meet them off the ice and, you know, now become teammates with them, they can easily become your best friend. I mean, guys like Scott Atkinson, you know, I played against him, Josh Williams, just down the road for years. I mean, there's lots of players, and I'm lucky that I actually played with some of these guys growing up as well. You know, Scotty, Sasha. So there's a lot of familiar faces on this team. And, you know, I think the difference every athlete, every sports member, team member can, I think, you know, relate to this, is that there's the intangible things when it comes down to winning a championship. You know, you got to look across the room and every single guy, you know, you got to want to go to battle for them. And I think our group had that and has had that this whole year. So just been lucky to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, that's important. 22 of your teammates, including yourself, came up through the WHL, and that's great to see you guys go on and do this. Your time in Red Deer, you were there a long time. Your WHL career was a little bit appended from COVID. I want to say you spent a year in Hotel Centrium, didn't you?
I did. That was my 20-year-old. My last Western Hockey League experience was in Hotel Centrium. Yeah.
So looking back on that now, what a wild time that was. You know, I think the WHL was committed to giving the players some sort of a season for developmental purposes. Tough though, I'm sure, to be in a rink 24/7 and go through a season that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a huge character building thing when you have to go through something like that, and you know where the world was at the time. You have to be thankful that we were still able to play hockey. I mean, I know the OHL wasn't able to get going, and, you know, lots of other leagues weren't able to play. So at the time, you just were so thankful to play. And that's an experience that the guys who have done it, it's really only a thing that we'll have together for the rest of our lives, right? And, you know, playing for Red Deer, playing for an organization like that under the Sutter family, under Brent, it taught me a lot over the years, and I wouldn't be the player person I am today without my experiences in Red Deer.
Third year at UBC, and we mentioned you're the captain of that team. What's the transition been like for you from junior hockey to university life and, you know, being on campus there at UBC? What's it been like?
Yeah, John, it's pretty, it's a different lifestyle, you know. In the WHL, you're traveling, you're playing multiple games a week, you're all over the place, whereas at school, you know, you're kind of home-based till usually at least Thursday, and then on some weekends, you're gone till Sunday, so a very different lifestyle. You know, when you're away from the rink, your focus is school, and you know, I'm lucky to be a part of a group where a lot of guys on our team, they're very focused and work very hard to make sure that they get good grades, and that's the main focus when you're away from the rink. It gives you a nice break from hockey, takes your mind off the game, and then, you know, you're just so thankful to be at the rink when you come here as well, right? That's a break from school, so you know, you don't have to think about that midterm or that final exam you might have just written. You can kind of put that aside and, you know, play the game you love and have fun with a bunch of good people.
Our guest is Chris Douglas, fresh off a Canada West championship with UBC, now chasing a U Sports title this weekend. I want to ask you about your program. What are you interested in? What are you sort of chasing for a degree there at UBC?
Yeah. I'm in the Sauder School of Business, currently in my third year. I'm specializing in accounting. So your first 2 years here, I just took, there's general business courses that are mandatory to move forward in your degree. So you take those in your first 2 years, and then you're going to get to kind of choose what you like, maybe what you think you can do better in. And there's a great mentorship and alumni program around our hockey team. And each guy gets paired up with a mentor that's something they're interested in. And, you know, I was lucky enough, I got paired up with a great mentor. And he kind of pushed me down the accounting path. I think it's going to give me a great overall knowledge of the business language that is accounting. And, you know, that's what I'm going to pursue as a degree here.
we've seen players get that degree and then go take a run at pro hockey. Is that on your radar at all?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, pro hockey, that's the best part about this whole, you know, program that goes on with U Sports, is that you get a chance to, you know, set yourself up for life while also pursuing the thing you love. And pro hockey is still definitely an option and something that I'm going to continue to pursue while I finish my degree. And, you know, I hope that opportunity is there for me once I'm done here at UBC, because I'd love to keep playing hockey.
Yeah, for sure. 5-year player in the WHL, that means you're set up very well with the WHL scholarship program. Chris, what has it meant to you to have some of those things looked after?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable opportunity. I mean, you have the chance to get your education, come out of school with minimal or no debt, and it sets you up for life. And I think the numbers show it. I think there's higher percentages of players now coming out of the Western Hockey League, you know, going to Canadian University and taking advantage of that scholarship program. And I think where this league is going and where it's become, it's exciting. I mean, you look at the parity, like you said, you know, you have the U of A's, the U of S's who have won, you know, historically, but now you're seeing, you know, if you look at the standings, there's so many good teams in this league and a lot of good hockey players that still are pursuing, you know, their passion for the game.
Hey, well spoken, well done, and really appreciate you breaking things down for us and giving us an inside look at what makes the UBC Thunderbirds successful and what makes yourself successful as well. So you're flying the WHL colors into Toronto, and we want to wish you the best of luck here, and thanks for being a great guest on WHL this week.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, John. It's a pleasure getting to be on the show.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
He is the third winner of the Bob Ridley Media Excellence Award. Earl Seitz announced last week as the winner of this award after a 54-year career in broadcasting, 48 covering the Kamloops sports scene and the several different teams that Kamloops had at the Western Canadian junior level. Earl joins us here today. Earl, first of all, thanks for making time. Congratulations, and it's great to see this award go to someone that I know personally as well.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate that.
Let's talk about your reaction. This has been a prestigious award, and as I mentioned, only 3 individuals have won it. What was your reaction when the WHL came to you?
Shock. I was shocked because I thought, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? But just incredibly honored. And to get an award that's named after WHL and hockey legend like Bob Ridley made it even more incredible. I've had an acquaintance with Bob for the better part of 55 years now. I first met him in 1968. And then after I came to Kamloops in 1974, we would rub shoulders more often through the games that Medicine had. And Kamloops played first with the Kamloops Chiefs, and then the Junior Oilers, and then the Blazers.
I look back at your time covering Kamloops sports and for this award of the WHL. You mentioned it. You know, you said the Kamloops Chiefs. There was the Junior Oilers. There was the Kamloops Blazers. You retired just over 2 years ago. How often do you think about your time in the mix, in the heat of the battle, working hard and covering junior hockey?
Every day. You know, there's not a day that goes by that something doesn't come to my mind about all of those years that I spent covering junior hockey here. First with the Chiefs when I was their play-by-play announcer from 1970, their 73-74 season, until they left town in 1977. And then there was a time period in there when there was no Western Hockey League team here, and they came back in 1981 as the Junior Oilers, and then evolved into the Blazers in 1984. And, you know, took off from there. It really, you know, they really, when they came back as the Junior Oilers in 1981, 82, they weren't a very good team. But they quickly turned it around and in 1984 won their first Western Hockey League championship and went to the Memorial Cup. And, you know, that kind of set the stage for what was to come after that. I think 6 Western League championships now, 3 Memorial Cup wins, and I don't know. I, I lost count of how many Memorial Cup appearances, but there were, you know, several more that they didn't win, including the last one in 2023. But all of them so memorable.
Now, you talk about the teams, but I want to think more about the individuals that you would have saw and covered and interviewed, and not only, you know, not only players, you know, Jerome McGinnis, Scott Niedermeyer, Mark Recchi, Shane Doan. I mean, that's a long list. But the coaches, right, like Ken Hitchcock, Tom Rennie, what do you remember about all these personalities from the years?
All of them stand out, you know, for different reasons. Ken Hitchcock certainly stands out. Ken Hitchcock, I like to always say, Ken Hitchcock never saw a microphone he didn't like. He was great, great, great with the quotes. And I think my most recent interview with him was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. And you know what? He never lost the touch. Always great. Tom, you know, they're all different personalities. Don Hay, I can't leave Don Hay out because he's a native son here in Kamloops. And one of the best, you know, he holds records for, I think it's wins or games or something in the Western Hockey League. He was honored here a few years ago. And, you know, he's still very much involved as an associate coach now with the Kamloops Blazers. And, you know, I'm really happy to see that. But there are so many of them over the years that just there have been a few coaches here over that time. So I'd like to mention them all, but we'd have to go on for a long time here, John, before I could do that.
Well, you covered it all. You stepped away after a lengthy career back December 31st, 2021. And you have, you know, sort of as promised, you've stayed away for the most part. Like a lot of times I think, you know, you move on from broadcasting and sports and you miss it and you want to find a way to get a piece of that limelight again. But for you, other than a few contract work around the Memorial Cup, you've stayed away and you've said a career is a career and that's that.
Well, I've sort of stayed away, John. After I retired in 2021, December 31st, I didn't go to a game for the rest of that season. And then I thought, you know what? I really miss this. I have to do something where I can still be associated with it. And Howard Brown put out a call for volunteers for the Blazers. And so I decided, I'm going to do this. I'm going to join the Blazers volunteer team. And I did that at the start of last season, and this is my second year now. That's something I really enjoy because I spent all of those years up in the press box. You know, I talked with coaches. I talked with a lot of players, the general managers. Now it's more with the fans. And there's no pressure anymore, John. And, you know, I like that. And I really enjoy my conversations with the fans. That's something that I really enjoy doing. And I have to say this, I have to congratulate you because I know you were honored earlier this season for 20 years as a play-by-play announcer.
Yeah, I guess I got a long ways to go here, don't I?
Well, you got a ways to catch up to Bob Ridley, but you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to get that bus driver's license so you can get behind the wheel of the Blazers bus.
I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately.
No.
I want to congratulate you on just being a humble award winner and just, you know, soaking in some of these accolades after a lengthy career, the latest being the Bob Ridley Award for Media Excellence. Congratulations again, Earl, and we'll see you at the rink.
Yeah, I'll see you there. I'm there just about every game now, so that's I'm up in the southeast corner checking tickets into the Loge Suite and who goes into the Blazers office.
That's right. Just
basically helping out fans. Where's the bathroom? Where's my seat? Et cetera, et cetera. That's good.
Hey, that's the show. Big thanks to our guests and a special shout out to Troy Gillard in Red Deer for his help this week. I'm John Keane. Have a great weekend.